If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. We are studying together what is recorded in the Bible concerning the New Jerusalem, which is presented to us in the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation. Without reviewing that which we have already noticed together, we call to your attention what is found in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 21. There we read, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Notice particularly the phrase, coming down from God out of heaven, and recognize this is another fact we are learning about the New Jerusalem, namely, that it is to come down from God out of heaven. Look again at the last part of verse 10, and you will see that same thought emphasized in other language, descending out of heaven from God. Where is it going? Well, we have learned that God will completely destroy this earth and the heavens that are about it. And he is going to create a completely new earth. And he is going to create a completely new atmospheric heaven to surround it. This city is going to come down out of the third heaven where God is working on it today, and it is going to rest upon the new earth. Now, what does it look like? How does John describe it? There are people today who read the description that is presented in the Word of God and who spend a great deal of time arguing about whether or not the description is literal or figurative. Don't worry about it. Read the Word of God for exactly what it says. It will be much easier to understand. Why can't we give God credit for having as much sense as we have? Don't we say what we want to say instead of saying something we don't want to say? If God did not mean what he said when he wrote these words, then why didn't he say what he meant? It would have been so much simpler for everybody concerned. So I repeat, just accept what is written for what it actually says. Will you look again at verse 2 and notice that John sees the city coming down out of heaven. He says it looks like a bride adorned for her husband. Well, any man who has ever stood at the front of a church and watched his bride come down the aisle knows what John is talking about. He believes that his bride is the most beautiful person in all the world. He may not think so at the moment, but at that particular time, he may not think so a few years later, rather, but at that particular time, he thinks she is the most beautiful person who ever walked across the face of God's earth. Now, that is exactly what John was talking about here. As he saw this city come down out of heaven, he said it looked like a bride adorned for her husband. Will you notice verse 11? In the same sense, he said this city had the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Gems are beautiful to our eyes. If you can, imagine how John must have felt when he saw this city coming down out of heaven. He said, my, it's like a great big jasper stone. It's clear as crystal. He tells us why it is clear as crystal. God is there, and the glory of God is shining through the transparent walls of gold, and that makes it look like a great big jasper stone, clear as crystal. If you will glance at verse 23, you will see that that is true, because we read, "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, nor for the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." A city of light. As we continue our thinking about this city, we would suggest that you notice verse 16, as we say to you, that the city described is described as a perfect cube. Some people say not a cube, but a pyramid. Well, I don't know. Either one would fit the description. For we read, "The city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." Now, when the angel measured the city, there was one thing he was absolutely sure of. He said, "The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." That is why some folks say it's a cube. Other folks say it's a pyramid. I repeat, I don't know, and I don't know that it makes a great deal of difference. All I know from this verse of Scripture is that this city was 1,500 miles in length. It was 1,500 miles high. It was 1,500 miles broad. If you can visualize that, indeed it is a wonderful thing. Measure out on the face of this earth 1,500 miles, and recognize that the city would cover that much territory. It would go that high into the heavens from the new earth upon which it would reside. The most amazing thing about all of this to me is that this great place of architecture is made out of pure gold. According to verse 18, "The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold." This pure gold was like unto clear glass. It is gold that is transparent. If you let your imagination work a little, you will find yourself saying in the depth of your heart, at least, "Praise God for the wonderful provision he has made in relation to our eternal home." In verse 21, the scripture emphasizes that even the streets of the city are pure gold. We read, "The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl," notice carefully now, "and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Will you look carefully at that verse and notice that it says street? And will you listen carefully as I say that the street, the one street of the city, was pure gold? Sometimes preachers get to preaching and they wax rather eloquent and they let their imagination take control and they talk about the main street of heaven and the back street and the back alley. Well, we'd like to say to you today, there are not any back streets in heaven. There are no back alleys. There's one main street in heaven. Everybody in heaven is going to live on Main Street. You can rejoice in that. It's one street that goes all the way through this tremendous city of gold. And the street itself is pure gold, as though it were transparent glass. Now, as we continue thinking about this city, I would like for you to notice in verse 22 that there is at the top of the street a place in which all of us are going to be vitally interested. For we read, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Then look at verse 22. "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where is this river flowing? According to verse 2, it is flowing down the middle street of heaven. If you put these two verses together and think about them for a moment, you will realize that what they are telling you is that at the top of the main street in heaven is the throne of God. Out from under the throne there flows the river of the water of life, and it flows right down the middle of Main Street. If you will look at verse 2, you will notice that on either side of the river, which would make it on either side of the street, there grows a certain kind of tree. It is called the tree of life. You will notice that the tree of life bears a different kind of fruit every month. And you will notice that the leaves of the tree have certain healing properties for the health and the welfare of the people who eat of the fruit of the tree. Somebody says, well, if we have already died and have our glorified bodies, what do we need to worry about food for? And what do we need to worry about health for? We don't. It is for those new nations which are going to be created. As we see, they will have the opportunity of coming in out of this new Jerusalem, this holy city, and they will have the opportunity of drinking of the river of the water of life. They will have the opportunity of eating of the fruit of the trees, which are for the health of the nations. And as we look at verse 22, we are reminded that this city does not have any temple. It does not have any church. It does not have any synagogue. It does not have any cathedral. It does not need one, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ are there, and they have fellowship with the inhabitants of the earth without any restrictions whatsoever. I'm going to have to stop right there because our time is gone today. And we remind you that this eternal city about which we have been speaking is our eternal home. We have the assurance of that today. We hope you do. But if you do not, remember, you may have that assurance through placing your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.